Calls for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
I have a new lease on life. Actually, I have new knees. And my guest today is the doctor who made it possible. Dr. Kevin Fricka is an orthopedic surgeon who specializes in minimally invasive hip and knee replacement at Anderson Orthopedic Clinic in Alexandria. And we're going to talk about knees, hips, the whole technique of minimally invasive surgery, and a whole lot of other things that you need to know. Dr. Fricka, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you.
Now, this is, I really do mean it. I totally feel like a different person because of my new knees. And when I came to you, I was so scared of having knee surgery because I'd heard of the horror stories. Well, then I learned from a friend of mine that minimally invasive surgery, while it's not fun, and I don't recommend it unless you have to have it,
sure,
but it is something that allows you to recover much faster. Would you say that's true?
There's no question. I mean, knee replacement and hip replacement in the past, you know, was a daunting task for a patient. You know, there was going to be pain afterward. There was going to be prolonged recovery. But with newer techniques such as minimally invasive surgery, we've been able to shorten that recovery and minimize pain significantly and make the experience for the patient, you know, a lot better. And in the long run, what they look at is what they can do after knee replacement. And in the short run, we manage their pain and get them up and moving, just as in your case.
Well, you didn't even have to get me up. I woke up, and there's this machine that's moving my leg, which was awesome because it never got stiff. Is that new, or is that something that's been around for a while?
That's been around for a while, and that's called the continuous passive motion machine. Essentially, you know, when you have surgery, afterward, we want to get you up and moving quickly. So right away in the recovery room, especially with a knee replacement, we put you on a machine that keeps the knee moving right away. But then the other thing is therapy now is moved not 2 days later, not 3 days later. You know, you get therapy that afternoon. So we'll proceed with the knee replacement in the morning, and then that afternoon the therapist is going to be upstairs getting you up and moving. And the quicker we do that, the more confidence the patient gets in their ability to walk. They can get off assistive devices a lot quicker and get moving right away.
Yeah, I was totally amazed. I started out with a walker. It didn't take me any time at all to move to a cane. And then from there, it was just a matter of a very short time. I don't know. I walked with a cane longer than I had to because I just wanted to feel secure.
Yeah, there's no question. And I mean, minimally invasive surgery is about not cutting into the tendons or muscles to do the knee replacement. And what that allows is for you to get up quicker and have more confidence in your leg and get you off of these devices sooner. Now, you're right, people will use a cane as needed, but I encourage them, if they can, to get off within a week or two.
Oh, yeah, I did. I really was amazed because I had a friend who it was a week before he could go up steps, and he had to have a hospital bed in his house. And this has not been all that long ago. And I went up and down the steps. I came home in a couple of days, and I went up and down steps. Well, you had me going up and down steps the next day. You mean person.
Yes, we do. We do force you to do things.
That's
but,
right.
You know, the motto in terms of getting out of the hospital, and I mean, it's not all about going home quickly, but we want you to do that safely. And so in order to leave the hospital after hip or knee surgery, you know, you've got to be able to get dressed, get out of bed, and do stairs. And that is easily accomplishable nowadays. Days and you can feel safe going home. So yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, stairs are what we want you to do.
Now, we've been talking about knees because that's been my experience, but you also do hips. Now, the procedure mm-hmm. there is also minimally invasive. What would people expect if they have a hip replacement?
Sure. And so a hip replacement in comparison to a knee replacement, both of them are done minimally invasive through smaller incisions and less muscle cutting, essentially. So we try not to do that. We get down and we replace the hip. I tell people the difference between a knee and a hip replacement in terms of recovery. With a hip replacement, the pain goes away a lot quicker. It's not as therapy intensive. You know, a knee, the therapist, as evidenced by you, Shirley, is pushing and pulling on your knee for those first 4 weeks, whereas the hip, we're not doing that. So the pain is less, but you're going to walk a little better with a knee replacement quicker than you will with a hip replacement. You may need a cane for a little longer of a period of time.
Oh, that's interesting. I would have thought that maybe hip was a more painful procedure. Well, I will tell you that I was amazed at how little pain medication I required. Now, one of the things that I did do even though I had bad knees, before I came to you, I was exercising. I was working out with a trainer and focusing on keeping my legs, my muscles strong. And I think that made a significant difference in my ability to recover.
Well, no question about that, Shirley. And to step back, I mean, arthritis in general, you know, so there's myths out there about arthritis. People would say, you know, I can't exercise because I have arthritis. And that's absolutely wrong. What you need to do in terms of managing arthritis, because it's not a problem that is surgical right away. You know, patients are going to have complaints of knee pain or hip pain for a period of time before they get to surgery. And exercise before is the key to it, key to managing it and minimizing the symptoms. Because the stronger the muscles are around the hip or around the knee, the less pain that knee is going to feel. They're like the shock absorbers, just like on your car. Mm-hmm. You know, they absorb the shock so that knee doesn't feel as much stress. And absolutely before surgery, you know, if you're contemplating joint replacement, if you're at a point where, you know, the number of bad days with your knee or with your hip is more than the number of good days, well, you're a very good candidate for joint replacement. But before surgery, getting you into a pool, getting you on an exercise bike, elliptical trainer, all of those things are going to benefit you in terms of recovery, but also managing arthritis is going to benefit you.
Oh, yeah. Well, and for the hips, it would be similar. I mean, you would want people to be in good shape physically if they possibly can.
Yeah, no question. And I mean, a lot of people will say, well, you know, I can't do certain exercises. Well, you're right. We don't want you running before surgery, but lower impact exercises, elliptical trainer, bike, pool, those are things you can do. And one of the things is some people haven't done much in a while. So then they go to the gym after we tell them to, and for the first 5 minutes, it's miserable, you know, because they haven't been doing it for a while. But that's what you have to do. Start out slow, gradually work your way up, but keep those joints moving. Because no question, the better the joint moves and the stronger it is before surgery, you know, the easier the recovery it's going to be.
Well, interestingly enough, I did not have pain. The only time I had pain was when I would go up and down steps. But as far as just walking was concerned, I really wasn't in a lot of pain. But my knees were unstable. My right one particularly, which was the first one I had done, I felt it did go out on me several times. I was just lucky that I did not fall. But I had gotten to the point where I was walking with a cane before I had surgery because I felt so unstable.
Sure.
That's a terrible feeling.
Yes, and that is right. I mean, pain is not the only reason to proceed with joint replacement, because you're right. Function is a big key to joint replacement in terms of getting you back to that. Before surgery, pain can limit your function, but that feeling of I'm going to fall, or my knees don't support me anymore, or, you know, my hip doesn't support me anymore, I can't put my shoes and socks on, or the functional reasons that your hip or knee prevents you from doing things is also another big reason to proceed with surgery. Because there's no question after surgery, your motion is going to improve and your ability to do the things you want to do is going to improve.
Can I say amen to that?
Yes, you may.
Absolutely. You know the difference. You saw me walking into your office when we first met, and the difference now is just astonishing. Let's just take a brief pause here to let everyone know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Dr. Kevin Fricka. He's an orthopedic surgeon who specializes is in minimally invasive knee and hip replacement at Anderson Orthopedic Clinic in Alexandria. And we're talking about my experience of having a knee replacement and the whole experience in general. Let's go back just a little bit. How can we protect our joints?
Sure. So, I mean, arthritis is a condition that most people are going to experience sometime in their life. It's not everybody, but as we age, and nowadays with people being much more active as a younger population, you know, and having injuries, arthritis is getting more and more common. But ultimately, protecting your joints in the long run, I think we talked about. Low impact exercise and key exercises for certain muscles. For the knee, it's the quadriceps muscle. Doing straight leg raises or getting to the gym and doing the leg press and those non-impact exercises like pool, bike, and elliptical trainer.
Right.
The same for the hip.
So it's the exercise. I mean, basically what we get right down to is the more you keep your body in shape, the more your joints will stay in shape.
No question. I mean, there is some subset of population that genetics are going to play a role. And if you had arthritis in your family, you may be susceptible to it. But to minimize those symptoms, staying in shape – And, you know, I know we need to talk about this because in America, obesity is a big issue. So we need to do talk about weight loss as well, or weight maintenance, because the only thing that has been shown to sort of halt the progression of arthritis. So if you're 50 and you've got arthritis, the only thing that's going to halt that progression is weight loss. It's difficult, I know. It's not easy to do, but that is important part of exercise and minimizing the stress on our joints.
Now, let's just digress for a moment and talk about something that you're involved in at Anderson, which is a foundation. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm involved in a foundation called Operation Walk. And actually, it was started by an orthopedic surgeon in Los Angeles. His name is Larry Dorr. And what he did was travel to third world countries where they don't have access to joint replacement. And he first went to Vietnam and performed hip and knee replacements for patients there. My partner, Dr. Jerry Yang, started the Virginia chapter of that. And we've been now to Nicaragua twice and to Ecuador twice, and have a trip planned in October to go to Nicaragua. And what we'll do is, for a week, we get there Saturday and then we leave on Saturday. We get there and immediately we start screening patients for hip and knee replacement. And then we'll do probably somewhere between 50 and 60 joint replacements.
Wow.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll bring the therapists, we'll bring nurses, we'll bring anesthesiologists, we'll bring implants. So we bring everything to the patients, and they have access to this care that they normally wouldn't have.
That's awesome. Now, how can people reach the foundation if they'd like to make a contribution?
Sure. And so our website, it's called Operation Walk Virginia, but the website is www.opwalkvirginia, so OPWALK, and then virginia.org. And
Virginia is written out.
Virginia is written out.
Okay.
And that's a website. We're also on Facebook under Operation Walk Virginia, but that's a website about our organization. It'll have pictures of our patients after surgery, as well as all the team members. And yes, more than welcome. We really appreciate any donations we could get.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you. I wish you great success with that. Okay, what about some of the treatments other than surgery for it? Now, I know you are a surgeon, but I'm sure you do things with patients trying to prevent it. There's something called Synvisc. Is it Synvisc?
Yes. You know, for arthritis, as I mentioned earlier, this is a condition that you're going to manage for a period of time prior to proceeding with surgery. And arthritis, in terms of, we talked about exercise, but other treatments, you know, Shirley mentioned Synvisc, which is an injectable sort of lubricant for the knee. There's also cortisone shots that can be used. And then over-the-counter medications as anti-inflammatories or Tylenol can help manage the symptoms. Now, they don't change the fact that you have arthritis, but they are a big boost to managing the symptoms, to getting you back to doing what you need to do.
And especially if surgery might be down the road somewhere, if you can use these interim measures to allow you to get moving again.
Sure,
that would be very valuable.
Yeah, it's very valuable to get you back to moving before surgery, because, again, a lot of people, they get arthritis, they stop moving, and the more you stay in one position for a period of time. You know, people work, and I know it's difficult, but you go to work, you're at your desk all day. Getting up at the end of the day is difficult, and the important thing is every 10 minutes to get up and walk. But measures to help you get back into the gym can be these anti-inflammatory medications or these injections, which can give you some relief to get you started again, to get your knees and hip feeling better.
What about the glucosamine and chondroitin? I think the studies have been mixed as to whether or not they're of value.
Yes, I mean, glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate is a nutrient for cartilage, and essentially now it's in vitamin form. And if you go to the store, there's many, many different formulations of it. I'm not opposed to that medication, or really it's not a medication. I'd say it's a vitamin.
It's a supplement, sure.
It's a supplement. And, you know, it's not FDA regulated. So the studies are mixed, but the studies are not being really done because it's not a regulated medication. It's a supplement. It's not harmful. And some patients find that it works. And I tell people to try it for 6 or 8 weeks, and then if they notice a difference, great, continue to take it. If they don't, you know, they don't need to spend the money on it.
Exactly, right. So it's just a matter of self-testing it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Does it work for me? Because not everything works for everybody, so it makes a lot of sense. But the whole technique of minimally invasive, where, as you indicated, it's less invasive.
Yes.
How long has this been going on? How long have people been doing minimally invasive knee replacement, for example?
Well, the joint replacement took a turn in sort of the late 90s, early 2000s, in terms of, you know, deciding that we could do things through smaller incisions. And the main goal of minimally invasive surgery is not just the skin incision, but what we do underneath the skin. We don't cut muscle. We don't cut in the quadriceps tendon for the knee replacement. And that, in turn, helps with recovery. But in combination with that is anesthesia and pain medicine. You know, 20 years ago, you came to a hospital and you had pain, and they gave you one pill and said, deal with it. And then
Goodbye.
They came by 6 hours later or 8 hours later and said, here, deal with it. But you know, Shirley, when we treat your pain, there's three or four different pain medications we can use, and all of those respond differently to different parts of pain. Anesthesia now is not where you're asleep. We do it under a spinal where they just numb you from the waist down so we can get you moving quicker. So minimally invasive surgery is not only the technique of not cutting into the muscle and moving things out of the way to do the surgery, but also after surgery, the enhanced rehabilitation and the early getting up from surgery and the pain management.
In addition to the technique, are there special equipment and machines, or is it the standard stuff? How has that differed?
So the main thing I want to stress is that the implants, the longevity part, you know, when we put these knee replacements in or hip replacements, we want them to last 15 to 20 years. So those are the same. We haven't changed those, okay? Meaning that those that have given us a tried and true results are the same. But the way that we put them in, or the instruments that we do that in, have shrunken in size, and certain techniques in order to move the muscles out of the way have been in, you know, developed so we can do this surgery that way. So, you know, we're going for a short-term recovery, which is important to both the patient and the surgeon, but also a long-term success is important. And so the main key is that minimally invasive surgery is not blind surgery. It's not that I'm doing something that I can't see what I'm doing. And it's also not robotic surgery. It's done by us, and we put it in and put it in through smaller incisions for a short-term recovery, but also ensure long-term success.
That's great. Absolutely. We're going to take a pause here to let everyone know they're listening to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Dr. Kevin Fricka. He is an orthopedic surgeon who specializes in minimally invasive hip and knee replacement at the Anderson Orthopedic Clinic in Alexandria. And he's the doctor who made my new lease on life and possible. You know, one of the funny things that my husband loves to point out to people, to me and to others, look, her legs are straight. I mean, my legs, when I went in to see you, it was interesting to see the x-rays. They were not exactly pictures of perfection.
No question, Shirley. With knees, a lot of people will have deformities associated with the knees. And no question,
Wait. Deformities is
well,
a strong
you're right. Deformities
word.
Is a strong word. So, you know, a lean to the side, a lean inward.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's no question the knees will do that as arthritis develops. Because predominantly arthritis will develop on one the outer side of the knee or the inner side of the knee. And people will either be knock-kneed or bow-legged a little bit. But after surgery, you can see, Shirley, you're nice and straight. We
oh,
don't
man.
Leave them that way.
I believe I'm taller, too.
Yeah, you might have gained a few. There's no question as you're walking, you're standing up a lot straighter. And, you know, you walk with more confidence.
Oh, what
know,
a
and
difference.
Much less pain.
And I'm back to traveling. Oh,
excellent.
Let me tell you, we are as Bill says, I have been the motivator for this. I mean, he loves to travel. But I really was so hesitant about doing stuff. I hated to be like that. That's not me. That was a terrible feeling. And, you know, every day I thank you for my new knees. And the funny thing is, I often don't even think about them.
That's the good thing.
Yeah.
Joint replacement,
yeah.
After it's all said and done, a lot of times the patients will forget they even had a joint replacement. And you're right. Arthritis affects not only the knees, but it affects your psyche. And you say, you know, I don't want to do those things anymore. After you have a joint replacement, travel all you want, Shirley. That's
mm-hmm.
what we want you to do.
Well, the only thing is the air getting the screenings. You set off every machine in the airport. So I've learned now, I just say, well, I've had knee replacement, and they put me in a special line, and they either put me through an x-ray machine that scans everything I have, or they pat me down.
Yeah, there's no question that, that is one of the things that you'll get used to as you travel more. But
I'm glad that
it's worth it.
Walking around airports is such a joy when I didn't used to be able to feel like I could do that. So it is truly an astonishing change in the way I feel.
And that's great.
It is totally awesome. Now, in terms of maintenance for this.
Sure.
And people who are post-surgery, like me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm exercising. I'm doing the elliptical. I'm doing the bike. I don't do any jogging or anything like that. I really don't intend. I didn't like that anyway beforehand. But people can expect that their knees are going to get better and better. You told me, and I'm months beyond the surgery, but you said through the first year, a patient can expect great improvements, and then you just kind of like they're yours. I mean, well, they're like mine now.
Yeah, there's no question. The process of recovery is sort of the steep part, you know, where it changes on a daily basis, is in the first 3 to 4 months. As 4 months to a year, you're still going to notice improvement. And it takes about a year to kind of fully forget, but then you forget about it. And what we tell you at the 3 to 4 month mark is really we don't put that many restrictions on you. You know, after knee replacement, walk, hike, bike, dance, swim, golf, people play tennis. You know, I don't recommend running, but lower impact exercise is great. Pool, bike, elliptical mm-hmm. trainer are the things
All
that
the
are going to maintain
that, yeah.
your joints. The same as before, you know, before surgery, the same things after surgery. And the same with the hip. We really don't put that many restrictions on people afterward.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, too, after I did a blog on the experience and I was reporting
yes,
what was happening as the time went on. And I got a great response from our listeners and people were saying to me, you know, I've always been so scared of it. And I think that was what I know that's what stopped me. And I've had a number of friends who've had knee replacements since then. And I had, for our listeners, I had total knee replacement in both knees. I had them done almost 6 weeks apart. And by the time the second one was done, my first knee was working so well. It was amazing. And so consequently, you know, I'm glad I did it that way, mm-hmm. but you had not recommended that I have both of them done at once.
Yes.
Because and you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would have managed that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Shirley did a great service by that blog, and your listeners can see that. But, you know, the thing about knee replacement in terms of at the same time or staged, you know, I just think at the same time, that's a lot for a patient to handle. They don't have a good leg to stand on, you know, after
right.
surgery. So, you know, when doing them 6 weeks apart, you're absolutely right. The one that we just operated on at the six-week mark is now your strong leg, and
mm-hmm.
that's your leg that
mm-hmm.
you're saying, I can depend on this leg. You know, 6 weeks later, we turn around and do the other one, and we get you going. And, you know, it's a recovery. And as evidenced, you know, they can read on your blog what it's like.
Right.
And you're right. There is some pain, but we manage that pain. And there's no question it's much improved from where it used to be.
Well, I didn't enjoy the experience. But,
sure.
boy, am I enjoying the results. Wow. Okay, so, and those things are so significant. But, you know, for people who are saying, well, I don't like pain medication, I didn't take all that much pain medication. I mean, it was just the first intense period there for a few days. But beyond that, I got to the point where I'd take a pain pill before I had physical therapy.
You're right. And that's what we encourage.
That was all I needed.
For the first few days, we manage the pain. But as you get the confidence, you get up the day of surgery and you keep learning, hey, I get up and move, I feel better and better. And then as you get home, you're right. What we encourage is exactly what you did, pain medicine before physical
mm-hmm.
therapy.
Because mm-hmm.
you want those therapists to really work you hard. I know it's not pleasant, but you want them to really work you hard in those first 4 weeks. And then again at night, sometimes to help you sleep, take a pain medicine. But you can get off that medicine pretty quickly.
You really can, and it's amazing how you can reduce what you need. The thing that I found, at first I was sleeping on my back. That was hard.
Yes.
But you know what? You got used to that, and pretty soon you could turn on your side and sleep the way ever you want. But at any rate, it was a wonderful experience. Give people information on how they can contact you.
Sure.
Anderson Orthopedic Clinic has its own website, right? And also about Operation Walk.
Yeah. So the Anderson Orthopedic Clinic, our website is www.andersonclinic.com. Now, I work out of the Mount Vernon office over at Mount Vernon Hospital. The phone number to reach me in terms of if you want an appointment is 703-892-6500. My secretary is Kimberly Carter, and my nurse is Melissa Nosser, and you could talk with them.
They're great staff. And then you have OpWalk, which is
Operation Walk. Yep, go
it's
ahead.
It's opwalkvirginia.org.
Yes.
And that's
mm-hmm.
going to help the doctors go to other countries and perform miraculous hip and knee replacements. Thank you so much, Dr. Fricka, for being here. I am have so much more joy in my life because of you. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here in Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest has been Dr. Kevin Fricka, an orthopedic surgeon who specializes in minimally invasive knee and hip replacement at Anderson Orthopedic Clinic in Alexandria. And I'm Shirley Rooker with New Knees, and thank you for being with us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.